Chapter 37. Ruskin lay in bed, spread out across the blankets in front of him were Corky's walking stick, the tin helmet with the torch, and the pin from the medal. Tears dripped constantly from Ruskin's eyes and soaked the pillows and mattress. Wendy came up to see Ruskin. "Kiss?" she said. "No," Ruskin said. "Tea?" "No." "Toast?" "No." "Baked beans on toast?" "No." "Poached egg on toast?" "No." "Scrambled egg on toast?" "No." "Fried egg on toast?" "No." "Then what do you want?" Wendy asked. "I want Corky back," Ruskin replied. Wendy sat behind Ruskin and stroked his forehead. "He's not coming back, darling," she said. "You've got to understand that. He's dead. We've all got to die sometime. This is just the first time you've experienced it. Corky's body got tired, that's all." "No," Ruskin said. "Crindlecracks got him."
"What's Crindlecracks?"
"The giant crocodile from the sewers. The one that Dad stole from the zoo. The one that cracks our pavement and scorches our bricks and digs up our roads. The one that's been searching for Corky for 11 years. Now it's got him." Wendy shook her head and said, "Oh, Polly Wolly Toodle all the day. Where do you get these stories from? You must get up. Everyone in Lizard Street is worried about you." "I don't want to see anyone," Ruskin said. Everything that is me hurts. My toenails hurt, my hair hurts, my eyelashes hurt, my teeth hurt. I feel tired all the time and I can't stop crying. There's an ugly taste in my mouth that I can't get rid of. And when I fall asleep, I dream that Corky is alive and the ambulance was a mistake."
"Have some tea," Wendy said. "Then you'll feel better. I've got some chocolate biscuits."
But the thought of chocolate biscuits reminded Ruskin of Corky, so he started to cry again. "Corky can't be gone," Ruskin said, weeping. "How can he be gone when he didn't finish his story?"
Chapter 38.
Later, Winston came up to see him.
"Want a cup of tea yet?" asked Winston.
"No."
"Toast?"
"No."
"Baked beans on toast?"
"No."
"Poached egg on toast?"
"No."
"Scrambled egg on toast?"
"No."
"Fried egg on toast?"
"No."
"Then what do you want?" Winston asked.
"I want Corky back," Ruskin replied. Winston left the bedroom and went downstairs.
Chapter 39.
Ruskin tried to sleep, but he kept on being woken up by the sound of Elvis's ball, the boing, and the squeaking of the pub sign, eek, and the wobbling of the drain, clunk. Lizard Street was continuing as normal, but how could it? Ruskin thought. How could people continue as if nothing had happened? How could Mr. Lace continue teaching and sucking his pencils? How could Mrs. Walnut open her shop? How could Dr. Flowers keep on being a doctor and sneezing? How could Mr. Flick open the cinema and show Henry V on his damaged screen? How could Mr. and Mrs. Cave open the pub, serve drink, talk, smoke cigars? How could Elvis continue bouncing the ball, followed by Sparky, who continued to say, "Yes, sir"? How could his mum, Wendy, continue making tea and toast? How could his dad still look after the fluffy animals and say, "It's not my fault"? How could St. George's School continue with its school play? How could everyone eat breakfast and dinner and watch television and go to bed and dream their dreams? Ruskin imagined Corky's house, empty and collecting dust. A packet of chocolate biscuits, uneaten, the seats unsat, the lights unlit, the carpets untrod. All those little things that Corky had collected throughout his life. All the things he knew, things he'd seen, the plays, the films, the books he'd read. Everything was gone, invisible now, like a wonderful library burned to the ground. Ruskin started to weep again. "I wish I could stop crying," Ruskin said to himself. "But I can't. It's as if my whole body is full of tears."
Chapter 40.
Dr. Flowers came to see Ruskin.
"Tissue,"
was the first thing Dr. Flowers said, then continued. "Now, what are you doing in bed? It's been a week now. 7 days is too long, too."
"Tissue.
Stay between the sheets." Ruskin touched Corky's walking stick. "I don't ever want to get up," Ruskin said. "I keep thinking of Corky and it upsets me too much to move." Tears trickled from Ruskin's eyes. Dr. Flowers gave him a handkerchief to dry his eyes, then he stared at him from the end of the bed. "We can't stay in bed forever," Dr. Flowers said. "Everyone in Lizard Street misses you." And his voice trailed away and he started to sniff. Ruskin thought he was trying to ward off another sneeze, but instead Dr. Flowers said, "I can smell potatoes." And sure enough, the next second, Mrs. Walnut came into Ruskin's bedroom holding a packet of chocolate biscuits. "These are for you," she said, giving the biscuits to Ruskin. "I can't look at biscuits without wanting to cry," Ruskin said. "They remind me of the way Corky used to lick the chocolate off them." "But they're a present," Mrs. Walnut said. "You can't refuse my present. Corky would have never wanted that. Then Mrs. Walnut started to sniff. I can smell cigar smoke, she said. And sure enough, the next second Mr. and Mrs. Cave came into Ruskin's bedroom with a bottle of Cherryade. This is for you, said Mrs. Cave, giving the bottle to Ruskin. But Ruskin was still crying and wished they would all go away and leave him alone. My bedroom's getting too overcrowded, he said. It's only meant for me, not everyone in Lizard Street. But still, more people visited with presents. Mr. Lace came with some coloured pencils. Mr. Flick came with a photograph of the actor playing Henry V. They all stood at the end of Ruskin's bed and stared down at him. The room was so hot and stuffy with their breath that the window started to mist up. Get out of bed, said Mr. Lace. We miss you in Lizard Street, said Mrs. Walnut. I miss your squeaky whisper of a voice, said Mr. Lace. I miss your knobbly knees, said Mr. Flick. We miss your fuzzy red hair, said Mr. Cave. Don't we, Mrs. Cave? Yes, said Mrs. Cave. We do, Mr. Cave. And then all together they asked, why don't you get up? Because I miss Corky, cried Ruskin. They all looked at him in silence for a while. Does anyone remember that story about Corky, Mr. Lace said, looking round the room, about what he did when he was a child, something about a medal? Oh, yes, said Mr. Warner. It was before our time, years ago, I think. Corky was a boy. He was playing on a dump at the end of the street, where the pub is now. That's right, said Mr. Cave. It was before the pub was built. There was nothing there but rubbish and rubble. Corky was playing on the site when suddenly he found something. Ruskin had stopped crying now. He sat up in bed and looked at Mr. Cave. What did he find? Asked Ruskin.